Today, I will be reviewing Alexander Dugin's book and thesis, The Fourth Political Theory. And let me just preface this by saying that people generally fear what they do not know. He may be painted as a fascist or a communist nationalist fighting against modernity and the liberal hegemony. Yet Alexander Dugin explicitly states throughout the entire book that his, the fourth political theory, is an alternative to the three previous political ideologies and theories. The first being, the oldest being, liberalism. Think back to the 1700s or late 1700s, liberalism. The second oldest being communism, Karl Marx in the mid 1800s, mid 19th century, and fascism really getting its legs, as we know, in the 20th century. There is a fourth option, according to Dugin, and you should not be afraid to learn of this option, of this theory. So let's get into it. There is a fourth political theory other than liberalism, communism, and fascism. It denotes its basic political unit by spiritual markers, engages periphery against conformists, and opposes the hegemony of liberalism and globalism, pushing multipolarity, revolutionary conservatism, and tailoring these to each distinct culture or civilization. This is a religious spiritual battle, existential battle, against liberalism, globalism, as the kingdom of the Antichrist. Dugin's words, not mine, but Dugin's words. The battle against the liberal globalist hegemony that is the kingdom of the Antichrist, says Dugin. Point one, the basic political unit is now spiritual, as if in a religious community. And here, think through the concept, the Heideggerian concept of deism. Heidegger went through the lineage of Western thought from Plato and Aristotle onwards, and even before those, to find the basic mistake made in the identification of what is being, or spirit, or soul. The spiritual, according to Heidegger, is deism. And deism, there's two types. There's engaged, practical, living deism, so your material existence or the way that your soul touches on material reality around you. There's engaged deism, and there's pure abstract deism. So the pure form of spirit that is almost like the Platonic idea, a pure abstracted form that is captured only by the intellect but does not materialize out in the outside world. So you have these two forms of deism, and Dugin says that the real answer is somewhere in between these two poles, definitions of spirit or being, of deism. Although it's not a value of the mean, deism, the true definition of deism, is not between these as the value of the mean, not a mean value, but rather some imperceivable spot between these two poles, pure abstracted spirit and engaged, living, practical spirit. It should also be noted that Dugin believes that there is something fundamentally wrong with the concept of logos. And there is logocentrism. Ever since Plato, and especially, and also in the Bible, the biblical heritage, there is mastery, but there's chaos, and then out of chaos comes logos. And logos, in modernity, logos relinquishes, gets rid of chaos. Dugin advocates that the detour down logos is logocentrism, is misplaced, is mistaken, is based on fundamental error. This is a Heideggerian line of thought as well. Logos is based off a fundamental error, and that we should return to chaos. But chaos has positive senses, not just the negative sense that you have in common parlance. So you have positive chaos. Dugin recommends a return to positive chaos as against the logocentrism that is centerpiece of modernity. So the basic political unit, now that we have gotten the spiritual Deism Heideggerian concept out of the way, the political unit of the fourth political theory is the spiritual belief. So there's almost a caste system of warriors and priests that they put themselves into that caste by their beliefs, by their spirit, by their psyche, by their mentality, by their being, by their existence. They are in these castes. It does away with liberal, the basic political unit of liberalism, which is the individual. It does away with Marxist class, the political unit being class and Marxism, does away with that. And it does away with fascism's racism, and its unit being race, does away with that. And it leaves only the caste, the spiritual caste of warrior and priest up above, that will now lead us out of modernity, back into chaos, away from logocentrism, and back to a freer world, a world of freedom. And this is true freedom, not the same as bourgeoisie freedom. Bourgeoisie freedom says you can buy whatever you want, but you must buy something. The fourth political theory, on the other hand, says that you can choose not to do anything. You can opt out of the whole equation. You can choose nothingness. Now, it's not the same as doing nothing. So basic political unit is now spiritual. The caste system, based off ancient Indo-European religions and mysticisms, the spiritual caste of warrior priest, and you're launched into these castes by your mentality, by your spirit, by your existence, by your being, your Deism between, remember, the two poles, between the two poles, pure and engaged. Between there is where you lie, and you are now opting into the caste. So Dugin says that there's people that live in the United States that can opt into the fourth political theory if they wish, if they so choose, if they live this by their design in their life. But it does away with the violence of individual class and race. It does away with the violence of dividing yourselves, the individual. That's what Dugin mentions, the individual is what it is, dividing into class, race, and individual. Now you are part of a spiritual caste that is by choice. So that is the basic political unit of the fourth political theory. There's also periphery against conformist. So those who conform to the liberal globalist hegemony are conforming. They may be unaware they're conforming. They might not even be aware they're possessed of a liberal ideology. It's so pervasive and so ubiquitous. It is like the air we breathe, especially here in the West, in Canada, in the United States, and Western Europe. We just automatically assume that there's no other way to live than liberal globalist ideology. We do not even see it. So there's the conformists, the ones that unconsciously conform. Then there's the ones that actively conform, so the party of Davos, the neoliberals, the Von Hayek School, the Mount Pelerin Society, all these large neoliberal, neocon, and globalist institutions, they actively choose to be part of the conformity. And they are, in fact, leading the conformity. But against this is the periphery. So you have Russia, India, China, Brazil, Pakistan, Iran, all these, even the African states, all these are on the periphery, and they can choose to be in the conformists as well. However, most of them are opting to keep their original civilization, their original culture, and wish to stay on the periphery. So there's periphery against conformists, broadly broad categories of people. Point three, liberal globalism is fighting against the fourth political theory, and indeed fighting to take over the world, as it makes a universalist, world-dominating claim. Modernity, progress, and opting out of time. Excuse me. So, the liberal says, why would you want to live any other life than the liberal life? every single person on the planet, to me, is a liberal, is a rational, this is what the liberal says, is rational, liberal, and an individual taken out of their context. There's universal citizenship, there's cosmopolitan belief, there's belief, and this is true, and this part is true of also communism and fascism, belief in modernity, progress, and opting out of time and forward progress. That was true in communism, fascism, and liberalism. They all make a claim that modernity is superior to pre-modern times. They make a claim that there is inevitable progress and that the future, the present is better than the past and the future will be better than the present. So there's automatic progress. And so for Dugin, they become automatons. Not even thinking, just acting out this belief without even thinking. So the liberal makes a universalist claim. And it is a world-dominating claim. They wish to export their lifestyles, mostly through the global market, to other countries, to other places in the world, making claim, making it so that Coca-Cola can be purchased in any corner market store, in any village, in any third-world country. Leveling cultures so that there's homogeneity. Amongst the cultures, leveling cultures, produced through a global market, creating a global citizenship, a cosmopolitan citizenship. And this is a world-dominating claim, a universalist claim, because they're claiming universalism. Why would you want to live any life other than a liberal life? Other than a liberal life. But liberalism makes a claim for modernity, progress, and against time, and they opt out of eternity. They're no longer in a cyclical loop. This is another point that Dugin makes, that their modernity is stuck on a trajectory of a univocal dynamic, meaning that it's like a steam engine that is unregulated, going further and further until it burns up all of its energy and explodes. That is what modernity is doing under liberalism. It is a univocal velocity of a system, going in one direction without sight of the consequences to the environment, to social, political organizations and institutions, or to culture or civilization or history, even history. It does away with history. It believes that it is the end of history, and it will be a continuous end of history, as Fukuyama would never have guessed, is that it is a continuous end to history. So, the universalist claim. Point four, this is a religious spiritual conflict against modernity, progress, and for the cause of eternity. So Dugin believes that there are cycles. He's a traditionalist, believing that there are cycles. There's the Dark Age, the Silver Age, the Bronze Age. Not in that order, the Dark Age, the Bronze Age, the Silver Age, and the Golden Age, and then reverting back to the Dark Age. He believes that the caste of the warriors and priests will try to lead us into a Golden Age and return to the cyclical eternity of time. It is a religious spiritual conflict. So there, the liberalism is also secular and atheist. It is making a dead claim against there is no God. We are the gods and we replace the position of God, the big other position of God. And we make our own values. And opposed to this is the fourth political theory, or the fourth way, which says, we believe in God, we believe in the conservative institutions, we believe that we do not have the knowledge to reject God, to reject a higher power, to reject the history and traditions of our civilization. And so we choose to be, consult with our spirit and with our soul, and we choose to opt out of modernity's univocal spiraling vicious cycle upwards. We must choose to return to eternity and devise a system that is multivocal, that grows organically and with conservation. Point five, multipolarity versus unipolarity. So you have the United States of America and Western Europe really being the one pole, the unipole, that decides to destroy the cultures of other countries, with their market powers, with their political humanitarian interventions, they intervene and destroy political organizations in different countries. They level culture with the market, with the exportation of culture, of American culture. And Dugin proposes that instead we adopt the multipolarity where Russia, China, Brazil, the BRIC countries, Russia, Brazil, India, China, all have their own civilization and stick to their conservative roots and stick to the true authentic character of their civilization and culture. Appendix 1, breakdown of ideology. So there's the old left, which is the communists, the social democrats, etc. There's the national left, which is the national Bolsheviks, which is very large in Russia. They want to nationalize things again and return to Bolshevism, only a modern Bolshevism. And then there's a new left. And the new left is comprised of the global liberal and the postmodern liberal. Especially the postmodern liberal. On the other side, there's liberal conservatism, revolutionary conservatism, and neocon. So the liberal conservative is one that agrees with the liberal project, but then says, let's put on the brakes, let's slow progress down so that we move at a more steady pace, but slow pace. Then there's the neocon, which believes is American imperialist, and it wants to create an empire with a strong core, a strong center in America and Western Europe, and then weaker peripheries around it, and building an empire expanding outwards. That's what the neocons believe. But Dugin identifies as a revolutionary conservative, somebody who says, I see the radical evil that is inherent in liberalism. I see the radical evil that is inherent. And he even says that liberalism is broken up into postmodern liberalism, which is now a sort of self-reflexive, caustic, acidic dousing of the old liberal ways with new modern ideologies, the postmodern liberal. However, the revolutionary conservative says, I see the evil in the liberal project. I want to return not just to the old ways, pre-modernity, but I want to return to the eternal cycle. The eternal cycle. I want to return to eternity. And I want to make my civilization such that it has its spiritual roots, that it has organic growth, authentic growth, that is not damaging to the environment, that is not damaging to the social fabric. Because look at the damages that capitalism wrought on the family structure, thinking back to the Industrial Revolution, or even today, the dislocations that happens in the family unit, the family base. The revolutionary conservative sees the evil that liberalism and capitalism performs on society. And let me remind you that there are as many bodies with liberal conservatism, think the American Civil War, the wars with Germany and France, the wars going back to the Westphalian state onward, that were liberal countries going to war, Vietnam, etc., where millions of people died, millions of Viet Cong died in that war. So the liberal capitalist society is not blameless or bloodless, it is not innocent. So the revolutionary conservative recognizes the violence that liberal capitalism performs on not only on its external enemies, but on its domestic internal citizens. The violence that goes straight to the core of the citizenship, forcing dislocations in job markets, forcing you to move to different cities, move from your locality, sell yourself as a commodity on the market. This is a very violent process, as a communist like to point out as well. But the revolutionary conservative says, I recognize the evil in liberal capitalism, and I want to return to the eternal cycle, to eternity, the authentic conservative roots of my civilization. For Russia, that means patriarchy, that means Orthodox Church, that means reverence for nature, etc., the family unit, etc., the community. In America, we have such a liberal value, but we would return to something approximating ancient Europe with the tribes, the Germanic tribes, etc., the English, Anglo-Saxon rule. There would be hierarchy also in these things. There would be hierarchy. in revolutionary conservatism a return to hierarchy. But again, the hierarchy is determined by your spiritual caste, where you place yourself in your thought and in your being in the spiritual caste. So going through these, they're old left, national left, new left, liberal, conservative, revolutionary, conservative, neocon, global liberal, and postmodern liberal. These are all different strands of ideology. And the book is quite involved and discusses all these different ideologies in depth, more than I can do here. And finally, the final appendix, Appendix 2, there are three visions of America: the neocon, the globalist, and the postmodern. So the neocon, like we've mentioned, wants to create an empire based around America and expand it outward. The globalist wants to make the whole world one homogeneous culture, leveling heterogeneity in culture and civilization by the global market, etc. And the postmodern wants to identify and root out racism, but it still rests on the pillars of the project of liberalism. So, the final word, Dugin tells you to become a conservative revolutionary. Become a conservative revolutionary. Find the authentic roots of your civilization, wherever you are in the world. This is not a racist affirmation. This says that the Indian country should live by the Indian culture. The Chinese should live by the Chinese culture. The Japanese by the Japanese culture. The Russians by the Russians. The Latin Americans by the Latin American culture. And the West should leave the periphery and the multipolarity places alone, and not try to invade on humanitarian or liberal grounds, because to us they seem righteous, they seem correct, but to the world we are a foreign intruder. That is the basis. So be a conservative revolutionary and return to the roots, opt back into eternity. Do not buy into the modernity or progress of time being this univocal process, like the steam engine, like I mentioned, that will burn itself out. But opt into the cycle of conservative revolutionary and into the cycle of eternity. Thank you. Hope you enjoyed.